Every year, people visit the eye doctor to update our glasses or a contact lens prescription. Hearing tests take place annually at many schools, but we rarely think about our voice, even though it's something we use every day. Often, unless we feel pain or our breathing is affected, we assume a hoarse voice just means a cold, and of course, it usually does, unless it goes on for weeks. Many of us, teachers, singers, aerobic instructors, preachers, actors, politicians, radio hosts, depend on our voices. Without our voices, we would be disabled. Steven Zeitels has been restoring people's voices for 15 years.
If we think about it, when you're born, most of us come out screaming. They continue to use their vocal mechanism through their whole life, and towards the end of their life, they say their last words.
Zeitels is the director of the Division of Laryngology at the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Infirmary.
The voice is part of every human being, every culture, gender, age. Vocal use is just part of the human existence.
The vocal folds, another name for the vocal cords, are normally smooth. They produce sound by vibrating as air passes through. Cysts, nodules, and vocal paralysis can interrupt the flow of air between the folds, causing hoarseness or even total voice loss. Despite the importance of the voice, laryngology is a small specialty, and one very famous voice is helping to get the field some attention.
My heart will be blessed with the sound of music.
That is the voice of Julie Andrews. Andrews lost her singing ability after surgery for benign growths on her vocal folds. Claiming she hadn't been warned of the surgery's risks, she sued her doctors and turned to Dr. Zeitels. Now she's the spokesperson for laryngology, and her interest extends far beyond her own vocal trauma.
And it's not just the people in my profession who will benefit from this new research. It is children with vocal fold injuries from life-sustaining breathing tubes in their throats, throat cancer patients, aging individuals suffering simply from voice loss. All of them will benefit.
That is Jeremy Geit, an actor with the American Repertory Theater. After a long acting career, he was diagnosed with vocal fold paralysis. In the past 18 months, he has had several surgeries. This therapy strengthens his vocal folds and restores their pliability. He might not sound that good right now, but by the end of his lesson, the improvement is audible.
And monarchs to behold the swelling scene.
Yeah, that's better.
Then should the warlike Harry assume the port of Mars.
In another part of the hospital, Dr. Zeitels talks with Jerome Freed before his second vocal operation. He is only 7 years old, but he was born with congenital cysts on his vocal folds. Many of his friends had come to associate his soft, husky voice with his character.
Some people, like, thought it was cool, and then other people thought it was weird because it was kind of low and raspy.
One's voice is often a huge part of one's identity, and Jerome's mom says he was worried about the change.
I mean, in the neighborhood, he's known as the little Don Corleone.
He's like, down here like this, and you know.
So he thinks it's cool. But it's not, you know,
yeah,
for a little
no,
kid.
It's not. And as he gets older, it would create a lot of attention at school that he wouldn't necessarily want. And people, when you get older with a voice, they think that you're chronically sick. And that actually scares people sometimes. They think that you're not capable of doing the job, so to speak.
In the operating room, Jerome lies asleep, his mouth propped wide open. Zeitels sits in a specially designed chair that gives him maximum dexterity. He carefully places long, thin, straw-shaped operating instruments down Jerome's throat.
Alligator forceps to the left and a suction in my throat.
Because the larynx is such a small area, Zeitels designed a series of instruments specifically used for vocal surgery.
That mass is probably about 2 millimeters. An inch is 25 millimeters. The one on the left is about 3.5 to 4 millimeters. So these are very small things, but you're seeing them under dramatically high magnification. It's probably 13 magnification.
His next patient is Mike Ellis, a radio weatherman who works in Boston. One day his voice was hoarse. First, like most people, he thought it was a cold. But it didn't get better, and he was diagnosed with a vocal polyp that was most likely created from overuse.
And it does strike one that
something you take totally for granted, which I'm sure is not a whole lot different from somebody who loses their eyesight or loses their hearing or loses any of those absolutely key senses. It does make you see that in an entirely different way.
For Ellis, like many patients, the hardest part of his ordeal comes after the operation. Total voice rest, silence for 2 weeks. And according to Dr. Zeitels, many vocal surgery patients have a hard time with this.
It's almost an oxymoron to think that someone will get a vocal full polyp who's shy or reticent.
How do you respond to that?
Well, I'm certainly not shy or reticent.
Before his 14 days of silence, Dr. Zeitels lets Ellis count to five to show me and him the surgery made a difference.
One, two, three, four, five.
That's it for 2 weeks.
Because of Julie Andrews' inspiration and Zeitel's own perseverance, they have gathered a team of doctors together from several different fields to push the technical limits of vocal reconstruction. Dr. Rox Anderson is part of Zeitel's Vocal Restoration Center. He is a dermatologist by trade, but he specializes in the use of lasers and fiber optics as both diagnostic and surgical tools.
It's the eye and skin doctors who have really pushed the laser technology to a whole new plane. And that has yet to make its way into the vocal surgeon's hands. It's an opportunity to do what we already know how to do, but in a different way.
Another important member of the team is Robert Langer, a professor of chemical and biomedical engineering at MIT. His lab creates tissues out of natural and artificial materials, including stem cells. Those tissues can hopefully be used to repair damaged or scarred vocal tissue. That is Dr. Zeitel's top priority. Julie Andrews thinks this research could even restore her voice, but that's not the primary issue, she says.
Yes, there's a possibility that I could be helped if it's found in time. If it's not, I'm very glad that I can be this spokesperson and help launch this work. I've learned so much about the human voice since my dilemma. And what a magical thing it is. I hope you all realize that none of us would be able to communicate what we're trying to communicate if you didn't have healthy vocal cords, and it's important that we preserve them.
Sometimes Zeitels muses that years from now, we will no longer think that long-term hoarseness is acceptable or that voices must deteriorate with age. Perhaps we will even create super singers who can continue their careers into their later years, much as pitcher Nolan Ryan got a new lease on his pitching arm.